to say other than thank you for coming. I have looked forward to this. I know some of you have. We're all excited to be in the same place and for the next couple of days. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah is a young man at this point, about 20 years old. And I remember years ago sitting down and reading this and thinking, I can relate with this guy. I know what he's saying. And, you know, I heard Pastor preach one time. He would have been the kind of missionary that nobody would have supported because he never led anyone to Christ. He didn't. Everybody turned against him. And yet, God clearly called him to the mission field. It's the weirdest story. It doesn't make sense to me at all. But sometimes I go there and I say, thank you, Lord, for putting that in the Bible. I know what he's feeling. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now I just want to stop right there. I remember one time preaching on this very passage here, and I said, honestly, I don't remember the Lord ever talking to me. I don't remember ever hearing him in an audible way. But in Jeremiah chapter 1, four times, the Bible says that God spoke to Jeremiah. I believe it was audible. I believe they had a conversation, okay? Now, I got done preaching, and a couple people came up and says, you're wrong, Joe. I've heard God speak to me. I said, really? Okay. I will never preach that God doesn't speak to people audibly, because I believe he could do that if he wants to. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 10 that my sheep hear my voice. I've been quoting this all the time lately. My sheep hear my voice, and they do what? If somebody's not following, it means they're not hearing. And if they're not hearing, they don't belong. My sheep, the real sheep, hear God's voice, and they're following him. Okay? Now, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me. And I began to think, as I was putting this together, I was, okay, Lord, help me understand. When did you come to me? When were there times in my life that you showed up in my life? And we had a time like we read about Jacob when he's walking through the desert. And he had those instances when he met God and he put an altar up so he wouldn't forget. When were those times in my life? And I remember back that one time when my cousin Eli had left the Amish, I was 15 years old, and I remember thinking, Lord, he's going to die, and he's going to go to hell, and I have to cry out on his behalf, and I crawl up into the top of the barn where no one had been for probably ever, this much dust. I laid in that dust, and I wept, and I prayed, Lord, spare Eli's life. Now, as I think about it, I realize that I probably didn't come up with all of that on my own. There was something inside of me that was drawing me to the Creator. And he was about to, and actually when I crawled down out of there, I felt in my heart that maybe God was calling me into the ministry. But see, when you're Amish, you can't go into the ministry unless the lot falls on you. You could be a great preacher, but if the lot doesn't fall on you, you're just a member all your life. We're considered self-appointed ministers, which is prideful. Now look at verse number 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, he's talking to Jeremiah, I knew thee. Okay, if you'd write that or underline that in your Bible, because there are three statements here. God says, I knew you, Jeremiah, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I did something else. I set you apart. I sanctified thee. And then he did a third thing. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. At 20 years old, Jeremiah was already being set aside. In fact, before this, even before the foundations of the world, God knew Jeremiah was going to come along. He was going to have a ministry for him. And so this is the first conversation. Jeremiah's just finding it out. But in Psalms chapter 139, verse 15, my substance, David says, my substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. God knew you and me long before we ever showed up on planet Earth. He's well aware of what our life is going to look like. He has a plan for us. This didn't just happen. God put it together. And I told you that I felt like the Lord came to me at that time in the top of the barn. Another time was when I was 17, my best friend, Leander, drowned. It was probably one of the hardest things I ever went through. We went to school together. We did everything together. He lived on that side of the road. I lived on this side of the road. We had slept in our teepee just the night before. But that day, he drowned. And I watched the scuba divers drag his body out. And I had one question. Where is Leander? Where is he? I had to have some kind of assurance. And I went to the preacher and I said, "Where's Leander?" And he gave me an answer that was like this. "Well, the church teaches that you're not accountable for your sins until you become a baptized member of the church. And since Leander was 16, he was 1 year away from becoming a baptized member. Therefore, we believe he's with God." That began to make me question and wonder, can a person know? And then I left the Amish with my wife after we had gotten married. Became a tool and die maker like Pastor shared. And in 1999, I began to question again, is this God speaking to me? I remember going through 6 months of pure, just misery, just crying. In fact, one day I was in the bathroom and I was sitting there and I was just crying and I was calling out to God. I was like, "God, just take my life. I don't know what you want to do with me." I had this awful burden to go to the Amish people, but I was like, nobody ever had a ministry to them, and the Amish are going to get more upset at me, and the English people are going to question everything about me. This is so crazy, Lord. I mean, I have an eighth grade education. Nobody's going to accept me and let me. I'm the kind of guy that when he gets up and speaks in front of people, that feels himself blacking out and falling down seriously many times up here. You want me to go? And another brother came in and he sat in the next stall and he began to sing a hymn song. He knew what I was going through. And I was just like, "Lord, take my life. Take my life." I'd just come back from the night before. Some guy, Amish guy, had shot himself up through the head and left a wife and two children. I couldn't get this out of my mind. And then I come out and John Stevens says, "You need to go talk to your pastor." I went to my pastor, and I still remember Butch Cheryl joined us. Well, I had one thing in mind. I didn't even know Butch was there. I was just like, "Pastor, what does it feel like when God calls you? How do you know when it's God?" I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. He's like, "Well," he said, "just come and share your heart on February 6, 2000. Share your heart to the people, the home people." And I did, and I preached out of Romans chapter 1. And Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. I said, "That's me." And I cried, and the people prayed, and some of the people that started supporting that ministry that day are still supporting it. Now, you know, last year, $360,000 came through those little doors over there. $360,000. I just like, "Lord, this is way bigger than this little young Amish boy could ever put together on his own." Verse 7. "But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." That was me. I knew God was giving me courage that I didn't have in myself. And I remember going down the road with Gary Cantlidge. We were on our way to a missions conference. I had not yet spoken to churches outside of our own. And he's like, you know, he's the seasoned missionary. I'm the young missionary that's going into the mission field. And we're driving along. And he asked me this question. He said, "You prepared for the mission field?" I said, "As ready as I'll ever be. As ready as I'll ever be." You know, I had no idea that I would be blamed for not being spirit-filled enough by some of my own people, Christians I'm talking about. I didn't realize that I would be blamed for being too spirit-filled. I didn't know I was going to be blamed for tearing families apart and for pulling people out of the culture. I didn't know that attorneys were going to attack us, that they were going to put up their own web pages and pull stuff off of our web page and put it on theirs and call and threaten to take us to court. I didn't know those things were going to happen. I didn't know that I would go to churches and in the middle of my presentations, men and women would get up and start yelling at me and try to chase me out of the church numerous times in Kentucky and Ohio and different places where they argue it right there in front of me and I'd stop. And the first couple times it happened, I was like, Lord, I didn't know I was going to do this. I don't know how to handle this, you know, but I didn't know these things would happen. I didn't know that one day I would get a phone call in the middle of the day with a very angry man on the other line saying, I'm coming to your office and I'm so angry about you. You're going in and you're trying to pull innocent people out of their culture and I'm going to protect them. And I didn't know if he had a gun or not. We all got together as a group, as volunteers, about 20 of us. We gathered together. We were all in prayer. Then the door opened up and a man came running in screaming. And then he saw we were praying. And he stopped. And you know what? God did something that we couldn't have done. I didn't know when God called me into the ministry that doors would be slammed in my face. I didn't know that I would be threatened on my own property, sometimes in my own home. I didn't know that I would be sitting in the living room waiting. These friends had taken me to their Amish friend. They had been friends for 20 years and tried to share the gospel, and they wanted Esther and me to go there, and so we're sitting there, and I'm waiting for the right time, and I didn't know that all of a sudden, as soon as I started sharing my gospel, he would get up and throw me out the door, and you scream, and then come running after me, and don't take him to my kids. That happened numerous times. Get chased off property. I've crawled out windows in the back rooms, bedrooms. I've been locked indoors. Brother, right here, Kirksville, Missouri, remember sitting in the back, way in the back of a nursing home in the middle of the night with an Amish family. I just talked with them the other day, the wife. I didn't know these things would be happening. But you know what? When I think about all the things that God has done in this ministry, and you're going to hear about it the next 3 days, so my time is up. I wouldn't change it for nothing.